Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm Delia.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about the five signs that your relationship might be
over,
headed for the rocks. If you're not doing so already, please follow us on social media at YDFL Podcast. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, don't forget you can also ask
Alexa
to play your episodes of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. And also, you can catch the action on YouTube.
And we are trying to grow our audience. So if you're not watching us on YouTube, go ahead and head on down that way.
Yes.
Subscribe, listen, comment. We get a lot of comments. Some are good, some are bad. We get them all. We like them. Who cares?
Yeah. Just
throw a comment in there. We'll reply a couple days later.
Ladies, if you want to see what the men really think about what we're talking about, they are very vocal in the comment section of YouTube.
And we only claim a fat, what is it? The
Fab 15.
And I think there's probably more than that, to be honest with
you. Yeah.
But right now, we're just always going to call them the Fab 15. And you guys know who you are.
Yes. All right. So also, if you are one of the listeners in one of the 28 countries around the world that are listening, thank you so much for your support.
We appreciate you.
All right. Let's get into it. Five signs.
Woo. So five signs. And this is the biggest one, in my opinion, when there is no sex. That is the glue. If you are not connecting with your glue, with your partner, and he is tired and you are tired and you're like, ugh, he grosses me out, and the thought of being with him and vice versa, ooh, you got issues. I think that is one of the biggest, the minute I'm not a therapist, nor am I trying to claim to be one, but when I get the calls at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, almost the first question I ask is, are you having sex? And 9 times out of 10, they're like, well, you know, that's another thing. We're really not. And I was like,
when you said right now, when you get the calls at 2-3 in the morning, I thought you were getting calls from the husband.
No.
I'm like, oh God, this is about to take a turn for the worse.
I was like, when they're seeking sex for me, that's an issue?
No,
I'm talking about, you know, the girls that call me because they're
sad.
I happen to be the person that gets that 2 o'clock in the morning call, like, hey, I need someone to talk to if you're up. And, you know, that is one of the first questions I ask. Are you having sex? And then they'll say,
that they
whatever
just
they say.
I have been approached by husbands over the years who have asked the question, how often, is normal. And I think they're asking these questions in work settings and stuff like that to the women in the office, because, which I think is kind of inappropriate, but, you know, people, work friends, become close or whatever. And sometimes you learn things about people that you didn't expect to learn. But
these
questions would come up, and they seemed very genuine, you know, at the times that I've heard the men asking these questions. And you know, I hesitated always to answer this question, because I believe if he wants it every day, you should have it every day. That's just what I believe. Like, that's just how I believe. But I was always very hesitant to say that to a married man, because I don't want to trigger some thought that his wife isn't good enough, that something's wrong with them, or now look at me as some kind of sexual, like, you know, whatever,
office. And the unfortunate thing is, if you're having a conversation with a male and, you know, like, let's just say I got a message from someone that said, what is normal? Like, what is a normal sex session?
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, well, it should be like 30 to 45 minutes, right?
And I was like, until the job is done.
And so I was like, unfortunately, you know, as I answered it, though, you know, he's asking a genuine question, it wasn't like creepy style. But I did think, okay, instantaneously in his mind, he's thinking, oh, you know, with 30 to 45 minutes for her, rather than it just being like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am,
with
like
his
30
wife
seconds.
Or whatever.
Whatever. And so, obviously, you're giving up information that is so personal, right?
Yeah,
and it might not be very ladylike. But I know that we're doing this show, so we're very open.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, well, it's just content. And if he needs my content because he's a creator, I'm going to give it to him.
Yes.
But my point to that is that sometimes we kind of will hold back to not say, well, if you want it every day, you should get it every day. Or if you want it every other day, you should get it every other day. Because you'll hear the men that will say, I haven't had sex in 6 months.
I know. And it's so crazy,
and then you're
because
like, what?
Some of those men, though, it's really interesting. They seem so loyal and they seem so willing to figure it out and buy her the gifts. And like, I've heard the stories of like, oh, I can't do anything until I give her like a full body massage. There's like this whole thing. And there's a funny movie called Click, where every time he goes to be intimate with her, she's like, honey, And then he's like, oh, yeah. And then it fast forwards of him giving her a Swedish, you know, back massage or whatever. And it's like the funniest thing because everybody has their little thing. But whenever
how I sad is hear, that, though? That is so no sad. And, you know, like, and I will go on to the next one, but to the five yeah. reasons. But yeah. this is another one. And this one I will never forget is the one person particularly that asked for the SUV in order for her to have sex with him. Yes. And she straight said, like, I'm going to trick him, but I'm still not going to have sex with him.
Oh, my God. And they were married, right?
And they were married. And so, you know, that's when you know it's probably doomsday for you. Doomsday. Yes. Divorce is coming. Like, prepare. And so that's number one, by the way.
Yes.
Long explanation. Yeah. Number two is you have no respect. No respect.
So let's really quickly, like, emphasize the fact of this, and we mentioned it in an earlier episode. Men, absolutely 1,000%, you can Google this, they prefer to be respected where women prefer to be loved. So you are, as a woman, are showering him with your love. You know what's so funny
that
you should
say that? I have to cut you off really quick. That guy, Andrew Tate, I got to, like, bring him on here.
Oh, yeah.
On that interview that he did with Patrick Bet-David. That is literally, like, it's almost like he said the words that you said last time verbatim. He said, men seek to be respected.
Yes.
Women seek to be loved.
And it's a real thing. And I've been around so many guys. And let me tell you, the moment the woman tells him off like she's a man and I will cut your whatever off and blah, 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 because it's a heated argument, the dude now receives that as a lack of respect. And literally his love receptor, like, turns off. And it's, like, very difficult to get it to turn back on, by the way.
And looks at her like a dude, right?
Yes.
Like now they're both at equal playing field, right?
And so it turns off. And I've heard this from so many people close to me, so many guys close to me, family members and stuff like that. And then I go, what? And they're like, ever since then, I don't look at her the same. Like, I can't. Like, I'm trying to look at her the same, and I can't. And so men really, really desire to be respected. They much rather, you could look at them and go, I just don't love you anymore. But if you are, like, respecting that man, he'll take it.
He'll take every single thing. Yes. So remember that. Respect is so important. If you don't have respect, you're headed for doomsday.
And also, I have a really good friend that her parents gave her and her fiance when they're engaged wonderful advice. And they said, love will come and go, but the respect has to remain on both sides. Because you can have all the love in the world, but if you don't respect each other, that marriage is not going to work.
It's pretty much done.
Yep.
And then the third one is if you guys have no communication. So there's no communication in the marriage. That is also indicative of it going down.
Do you view sex as communication?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Because you have to communicate with them. And you have to communicate that, you know what, this is not cutting it for me.
Yeah.
That this once every 6 months, the me having to buy you the gift, the me having to do it like click and like show you that I did give you a massage, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, also, I will even kind of, you know, take it on a side note. Then guys are very infamous for this too. And it drives women nuts, by the way, to the Fab 15 that are listening.
Yeah.
You know, and this has happened a lot. Like, when they make plans or they don't include you in the plans and then they assume that you should know the plans. And, like, I know this would happen a lot to me where, like, the whole family's knocking on the door and I'm like, what's everybody here for? And they're like,
The barbecue.
Yeah. And you're like, wait, what? And
that used to happen
and
to my
you know,
mom.
And and it's like, you're Latina, so you want to make sure that there's, like, all of the side dishes are ready and you're not, like, my house is always clean, but there's always, you know, the tidying up, like, extra when people are coming over. And it's like, when were you going to tell me that you're planning this backyard barbecue with, like, you know, again, being Latina, you have like 20, 30 people roll up. It's like a whole party. And I know that's maybe on a tangent, but that is a lack of communication that is so important, by the way.
And so often, and I agree with you, and so often there's also a communication breakdown just at the moments of things that happen that women, we often think are like, I don't want to make a big deal about this. I don't want to make a big deal about that woman, that dude's husband, wife that comes around hanging on my husband. I don't like it. But I'm just keeping it in. I'm maybe a little resentful and I'm not speaking my mind. I'm not like revealing to my husband like, hey, babe, you know, I don't want to make a big deal about this between you and I. I really feel uncomfortable with the way she operates around you. And you have to get it out and you have to communicate in a really calm way, by the way.
Because otherwise it's going to like really boil over. And it's so important that you communicate. I think that is so important. Or, you know, if you're a female that is not responsible and you got your family in debt and you forget to tell them that you maxed out the Amex and that you, because you maybe run the bills or you run the checks or you send out the whatever, and all of a sudden, like, you forgot to send the mortgage because you decided to go buy yourself, yes, like some real fancy. Like, that is lack of communication, and it's so important just to get it out and just be like, hey, this is what's happening. Like, yes, sorry to break it to you, but this is what I did. Because I think that if there is no communication, whether that's in love, finances, in family, whatever, like, it's really going to break your relationship down.
It really is. And I also think that there's a fine line between communicating and, like, nagging. I think we have to be really mindful. Delia, you know, you always say it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And sometimes we can be very condescending. We can act disappointed in them and things like that. And I always say too, don't even do that to your children. Right. Like, don't have an air of disappointment or disdain.
Yes.
But if you can sit down once in a while, maybe in your mind you go, okay, like, maybe once a week I want to kind of address some things.
Yeah.
And I, you know, have a whole show called Rachel Unpacked. Maybe like you sit there and go, okay, we need to unpack this. Yeah, we got to unpack this session here. Maybe he's working a lot. Maybe, you know, you're feeling very tired and you don't know that you want to keep working. Maybe you want to now be an at-home wife. There's all these things. So instead of holding it in and building resentments, and especially expecting that the other person can read your mind or pick up the hints that you're putting down, like, no.
And that's us women, usually, though. I will say that is a female trait, usually. We as women assume we want the man to just know that, like, we're irritated signals, and that we're mad and that you slamming should know. And it's like, you should have known. It's like, what? From last week, you did that. And you're like, what? Like, what? I don't even remember what I ate yesterday. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? But that's just the way that rolls sometimes. And so, so moving on to the next one is going to be number 4, and that is going on vacation by yourself.
This is kind of crazy to me, this idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have girlfriends that, you know, are married, and the husbands, and I wouldn't say they give them permission, but they are able to get away for 2-3 days and the husbands are okay with it. I have people in my life where the husbands will absolutely positively not accept that. So it just depends on where you're at with this. I personally feel that if I'm married, it goes back to the respect thing. I have to be respectful of my marriage, depending on what it is. And yeah, I probably don't want to travel, you know, as a single person, because I'm not. And I'd rather travel with my significant other. But if you're constantly taking off to Mexico, to Europe, to here, to there.
Girls trips,
and you're married, that could be, or even guys, because guys, you know, they do like their boys runs and whatever. And so that could be a really, really strong indicator that you're going down the wrong path.
So I have an example of this for me in my life, is that I can relate to this, because there was a situation back when I was married where my friend was marrying a well-known A&R rep for a record label. And so the best man was a celebrity, rock and roller, like all these people were like rock and roll dudes and everything. And so we got invited months and months before, just like a standard wedding. It was going to be in New Orleans, destination wedding. I'm invited. Obviously, he's going to be my plus one. I said, I was so excited about it, actually. And he goes, yeah, let's do it or whatever, he said. So I go through the motions of RSVP for two.
Eventually, I go get
the tickets, right? They were like $800 each round trip at the time.
Okay.
And so, and it is what it is. Months later come, and it's like we're a week out from this wedding. Actually, like 2 days out or something. And so I said, hey, I picked up the dry cleaning. Is there anything else you want me to pack for the... He goes, I'm not going to that. And then I go, what? He goes, yeah, I don't feel like it. Like, I'm not going to that. I said, well, I already got the tickets and like already... And then he goes, yeah, like, I'm just not going to that. Like, it's not my thing and I'm just not interested. And so I said... Okay, so I sat there, and if you listen to the Rachel Unpacked podcast ever, season one, I talk about learning to have him meet me in my joy, that I wasn't going to join him in his misery. And and I thought, what is going to make me joyful?
Yeah.
It's going to follow through for my friend. I RSVP'd to her whole wedding. Like, she had to block out the room and like the certain block, and every week she's like, I got you the best room and all this kind of stuff, and it's next to me and whatever. So I wasn't gonna at the last minute be like, yeah, we're not doing that.
No.
So I literally just kept it going, and on the day of, I remember saying, hey, the night before, I said, you gotta drop me off at the airport, don't forget. And he's like, the airport for what? We're not going to the wedding. I said, no, you're not going to the wedding. you decide you didn't want to go. Like, I'm still going to the wedding. And his face, when I tell you, he looked at me like I was
crazy,
literal Satan's Frickin' helper.
Psychopath.
And he just goes, all right. And, like, he ended up dropping me off at the airport. Trust me, ladies, I was scared. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Like,
okay,
this is
so
gonna
the
be...
million-dollar question to me for you now, because you just said that, was how was it when you returned?
So I actually returned a day early because I realized I was in the penthouse suite of the W with these really high-level guys, and it was getting interesting. And
sex, drugs,
and
alcohol.
I realized...
Cocaine
I
is a hell of a drug.
Now, that wasn't even my hotel, and I said, I need to leave now. Called the concierge of my hotel and said, pack up my room and send it. Like, I'm going to just drive by and pick it up. And, like, I literally knew this is not going to play out well in your marriage and for your soul or whatever and for your family if you don't leave. And so I knew I had to leave, and so I did, and I got home, and I was kind of drunk still, whatever the situation. I have pictures. I'm not proud of it, but it was funny. It was actually a funny time. And so anyways, it was fine. He picked me up. He was shocked. Why are you coming home early? And I said, you know, I just realized I probably shouldn't have been there. Like, I would have rather been there with you.
Right.
It was getting kind of sticky. And I thought would I want him still here? What would I want him to do?
Right.
I would want him to exit the premises.
Exit the
at
building.
At all costs.
Like,
and that's
Elvis.
What I did. And I said, I had my good girl moment, and I left. However, ladies, it was scary to kind of continue on with the plans, but I can't imagine doing that all the time.
All the
like
time.
Taking off and doing that.
I know that there are some people that are very supportive about that. Like, go out with your girls and go do the week trip to Miami and go do the this and go do the that. And I know that there are very supportive men out there that are cool with it. I just think that, you know, if you're doing that all the time, it could, you know, it could lead to doomsday, which is divorce. And, you know, I mean, really be a little bit more thoughtful on whether or not you should be going on these vacations without your significant other, because nothing good comes out of girls' trips all the time or guys' trips all the time, you know.
Or even traveling for business, by the way, which I did a lot of as well. And I know someone
tough.
Here
yes.
that the husband is going to be doing that internationally, and that he mentioned to her, you should come, you know, because all you have to do is pay for your person's ticket and their meals, and they're good to go. They can stay in your room and everything. That's usually the corporate structure. And so when she mentioned it to me, I said to her, you do everything in your power to go.
I always find it really strange when I've met couples that are like that and the wives never want to join them and they're going to like Paris. And I get it. It's more for work, but they're going to Europe and they're doing like these, you know, these are high level executives that are going to these big meetings or these seminars.
Dinners
what have
and
you.
Everything.
And they opt not to go. It's always so strange. It's like it's such a great opportunity to have a little business with pleasure, not just all business, right? But anyway, that is one of the indicators, which is not traveling together, which is vacationing on your own. So this is the last one. This is number 5, and this is the indication that you are headed for doomsday, and that is sleeping in separate rooms. And this is something that, in my opinion, has always been a red flag for me, but supposedly, according to this new technology platform called TikTok. They're saying
people are loving it.
People are saying that you should sleep in your own room. And we were just on a previous episode talking about how people have actual different houses. Or like Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian living in their own homes. Like, they live down the street from each other still. So they absolutely sleep in separate homes, not separate rooms. And so this was kind of interesting to me because I do feel, in my opinion, that this is a red flag.
And so I'm on the fence with this one for this one reason.
Tell me.
Because when all the marriages were lasting till death do us part, the man slept in one bed and the woman slept in another. And often they slept in separate rooms. And so in the 1950s and before, they were sleeping in separate beds.
Is this just a Lucille
Ball thing? No, this is a real thing. This is a real thing, yeah. They were sleeping in separate beds and separate rooms because they didn't want the children to see that the parents were sleeping in the same room. Now parents take showers together every morning and the kids go, Mommy and Daddy are taking a shower together and stuff like that. There isn't this mindfulness of what this looks like and what this implies to the children.
Right.
And in that time, there was a huge amount of implication.
Mm.
And so they slept in separate beds and then at night they bring their beds together. And so you see some of that in the Lucille Ball movie, in the shows. However, all the older people I've ever spoken to, my own grandparents and everything, it was a thing in the days a long time ago. Wow. Obviously, when they were older, it was fine.
But then, you know, I'm going to be a little challenging with this one, and only because I do believe it's a red flag, and I could be wrong. But you have to remember, too, those were the times where it was very extremely difficult to get divorced.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's like, no, people go get your happiness. And, like, yeah. If that's not your happiness,
it's
then
all
you
about
will find
you,
your
lettuce. You deserve fresh lettuce.
You deserve fresh lettuce. And absolutely not, you know, queen, you go out there and get your man.
We are in such different times that you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, we don't have the playbook. Not us, not you, not any of these experts. This is the first time that the human race is having to go through these challenges.
Chaos. They're going through chaos.
With marriage, relationships, divorce, had a date. There's a lot of things going on here. I'm curious. So who's the list according to?
This list according to some doctor therapist guy on YouTube.
Nice.
And he's also on TikTok, and he's also on a bunch of different platforms that he was on. And he was saying that these are the 5 indicators. And I was like, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do agree with them, though. That's the reason why I thought it was so important that we would talk about them, right? Because this is a doctor that is a therapist that has sat with, you know, thousands of couples. And in his opinion, this is what's led people to divorce. Like, when he sees that they're having no sex, there's no respect, that sleeping in different beds, that they're going on vacation, you know, separately.
And it's so funny, because if you're a person who isn't one to cheat on your partner, and you're a very reliable, honest person, you might hear this list and go, no, like, I go with my friends and it's fine, or I go to da-da-da and it's fine, or I do this and it's fine. You have to remember, in most cases, it leaves room for something to go wrong. And that, I think, is the bigger issue.
That's, I think, the biggest problem. And so, I think at the end of the day, like, we don't know that these are actual factual facts, that this is, like, maybe you guys have been sleeping in separate rooms or separate houses for, like, the last 30 years and it's worked for you. I'm not sure that this list would apply to you, but according to this particular therapist...
Yeah.
He said that these are, like, the key indicators that your marriage is headed for the rocks.
For doomsday.
And so doomsday.
If you are someone who has any of those things on the list and you are doing A-OK, drop it in the comments. Let us know, like, which ones do you call BS on? Cap. Which ones are cap?
You know, I know for sure one that I could not call a cap on is going to be actually 2, for sure. Sex and respect.
Oh, for sure.
If you're like, oh no, like, we have no sex and I don't respect my husband, well, we're still together.
Yeah.
You probably are, but, like,
there's a third person somewhere out there.
Yeah. And
there might be.
For sure. If those two things are, like, out of this list, if those two things are happening, believe me, like,
you got company.
I'm going to get you an attorney right quick to help you with your freaking paperwork.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so, This is some lists that we came up with, some doctor came up with.
Yeah.
We wanted to share with you guys. Agree, disagree, I don't know.
Let's
but
hear it.
Hopefully, you know, you guys can let us know what you guys think.
All right.
And just don't ever forget that you deserve
fresh lettuce.
And
see you
cheers.
Next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.